Hi, I'm Darina, co-founder of OpenPhone. My dad is a business owner, and growing up, he always kept his ringtone super loud so he'd never miss a customer call. OpenPhone gives your team business phone numbers to call and text all in one shared workspace, and our AI agent answers 24/7 so you never miss a customer. Over 60,000 businesses use OpenPhone. Get 20% off at openphone.com/odyssey. OpenPhone. No missed calls, no missed customers.
You know, you guys don't want to hear it, but there's still time, you know, and despite, you know, making a move this morning, and I'm sure our obituary is probably getting written somewhere this morning because we made a trade, and the fellas went out and played, man, and they had energy. And
I've been writing that thing for about a month, Tony Manziolino, and I can barely spell. But I'll tell you what, after what happened yesterday, spirited effort. Not going all Tug McGraw, you know, kind of an unintentional Mets tie-in. You got to believe they did gain a game yesterday in the wild card standings. Don't get in here. So the Orioles sweep, and we'll get into everything that happened. You heard Gunnar Henderson's two-run shot, Ben McDonald, Kevin Brown, Masson on the calls, driving home when that one happened. Then game two, Sagano struggles early. Then he heats up a little bit, retires nine in a row. And them damn walks kind of did him in a little bit, but he stabilized, and then the bats came through. And PT, if you're listening, and I'm sure you are, all right, Jackson had two doubles. One was a blooper, one was a legit through the gapper, but all right, for one day. Hey, this guy was a 4-6 overall pick. Yeah, 12 years ago, whatever it is, but yesterday came through. And then Dominguez, you heard, 99. Finishing off game two of said doubleheader. Brian Baker was traded before the game. Pitched last night. Unfortunately, it didn't go well for him or the Rays as they lose to the Red Sox, which we'll get to during the American League East report when Ryan Ripken gets here at noon as we rip it with him. So, Nolan, are we back? Are we teetering? I mean, you've been saying we're back, but
you're
almost
asking me a silly question like that. Of course,
kind of
they're
tongue
back
in cheek, but are you really feeling it right? Because Seattle just got swept by New York, the Yankees, and boy, that's a tough L last night for them. But all the teams that were kind of struggling are starting to heat up again. Kansas City, well, Minnesota's still stinking. Boston's on fire, but you still managed to gain a game. Cleveland's been scuffling. I mean, you have all these teams in front of you, six still, but yet they're still just kind of clanking around here and not disappearing. Cleveland is, well, like I said, they won three in a row all of a sudden. Angels, they're doing their problemo thing. So every team goes through these ups and downs. The Orioles have won 5 of 6 games, back-to-back series. So you're saying they're back.
No, actually, in all seriousness, no. I mean, I was prepared to come in today and do the whole bit again, you know, that they're back, blah, blah, blah. It's
fun.
But
are you really feeling anything more positive here?
I was feeling something, and then I heard Tony Manziolino there kind of peacocking after the game that, yeah, oh, they were writing us off. I'm like, hey, man, you're 8 games below 500. You're celebrating like you just made the wild card or something, or even made a playoff spot. I mean, I get it. You want to motivate the team. You want to do the thing. I appreciate him showing a little passion. I'll give him that. But at the same time, like I mentioned it yesterday, all the way people were talking going into the doubleheader, like, oh, big make or break day here. Like, this is going to, you know, this is the season. Like, is it really? If they lose, what, you're 12 below 500? Yeah, sure, I'm with you. But to get 8 below 500, does that actually give you a sense of like, oh, here we go? They're 6.5 back.
Yeah, that's
still 7 teams ahead of them.
That's the number I'm concerned with. The games back of the last wild card, not games under 500, because last year wild card teams are getting in with 85, 86 wins. You're not trying to win 120 games to get into the postseason. It's still a long road to hoe. And the Baker trade was an indication that they're probably going to sell. Charlie Morton's going to be gone within the next 3 weeks. Cedric Mullins most likely gone in the next 3 weeks. Ryan O'Hearn could be gone in the next 3 weeks. If they sweep Miami, however, now we're talking about, what's that mean? 8 out of 9, 3 straight series wins. Miami's been great on the road up until the last couple of days when they lost to the Reds. They won 11 straight road games up until the split with Cincinnati. If they sweep, Nolan, the Miami Marlins. That would put him within, what, five games of 500, and I would assume probably chips another game or two off of the wild card deficit. Is Elias pumping the brakes? Or is it still proceed with whatever the plan is right now, which I would assume is to maybe bust a move or two?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got to proceed, at least with the expiring guys. The Morton, Mullins, you know, we know all the O'Hearn, obviously. I mean, that's the pool. The whole Baker thing yesterday with him having control threw a bit of a wrench in the situation. But if you want to take Elias at his word, do that at your own risk. But he did say that that's a one-off thing. They're not looking to sell guys with multiple years of control. They got an offer that was too good to pass up, so they pulled the trigger on it. I'll take him at face value on that until he does otherwise. We'll see. But I do think it starts with the expiring guys. And if that ends up being their reality and they're hovering around at four games back in the wild card where you're thinking, okay, maybe there is a chance to make a run here, I still don't have a problem with it. Because in all likelihood, guys like Morton, you're not going to bring him back. Mullins, let's be honest, they're probably not going to extend him and bring him back. You might as well get something for him.
Yeah, and Charlie Morton is a guy who was great again yesterday, who we all thought was going to be gone by the end of May. And the only thing that kept him from being released was the contract they signed him to, $15 million or whatever it was. If he was playing on a $4 million deal, he would have got whacked when he was 0-5. But boy, is he turning around to the point where not only is he going to be a commodity for a contending team, which he's used to, they're going to might get something halfway decent. You know what I mean? You never know what sort of prospect could develop and evolve into something unexpected here. But Charlie Morton, congratulations to you, by the way, for what you have done, because we were all kind of crapping on you. But man, now you become a tradable piece. Hey, who knows? If the Orioles percolate a little bit here in the next 3 weeks, maybe a guy you keep around. I think there's too much risk with that because he's going to walk anyway. But, man, how's he rehabilitated himself? Big time.
What do they do, Bob, if they go 10-5? Over, you know, that takes them right up to the trade deadline. If you're 10-5, you're right there then.
I still think you got to move Morton. While the price is high, he's not resigning.
No, I know, but I mean, if you win 10-5, if you go 10-5, which, you know, I mean, they got some Tampa and Cleveland, but then they got Colorado too, you know. So you go 10-5, you kind of you're gonna be what, maybe three games out of the wild card.
Well, I think
we were talking like after they lost the over to the Mets, it's like blow this whole thing up. They win two games yesterday, and all of a sudden they're the 69 Orioles. Here, like you said, Nolan, business plan Elias, proceed. They still think they have a chance. And like you said, Manzo was popping off. You know, by the way, there's an Earl Weaver anniversary we'll get into during the whip around. But like, come on, man, pump the brakes a little bit. Jason Stark in The Athletic said the Orioles are the most disappointing team he's ever covered through the first half of a season. That's hyperbole, quite frankly. You know what I mean? But anyway, yeah, I still think if you're Elias, you've got to move forward with what you're trying to do.
Well, it's either – so buying's off the table. They're not going to buy.
Correct.
So it's either stand pat or sell. And I know people are kind of beating this whole Detroit Tigers thing from last year into the ground, and I'm with you. They did sell, and they still competed. We know the playoffs is a long shot. So I don't have a problem, again, with selling at the deadline. And what kind of message does that send to the team? Maybe harsh here. I don't really care.
Hey, like 2022, he did it.
Yeah.
But he basically said, we suck, and then they got hot right after that.
And if anyone in the clubhouse had a problem with it, what are you doing selling away these pieces when he had a chance to make a run here? Like, let's say, like Vinny, they're three back in the wild card and they sell 3-4 of their guys at the deadline. And maybe the player reaction would be, well, what the hell? Like, we got a real shot at this. Well, what about the first 2 months of the season? If you guys were worth half a damn then, we wouldn't be in this situation now. It's not like that we just started playing in mid-June. You know, it's the full season matters here.
Well, no, it doesn't. You know, if they're 52-55, if they go 10-5, there'd be 52-55 at the trade deadline.
Right.
You know, I mean, so you're...
They got to be above 500 for me to even consider standing pat.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they got to be within three games of a wild card.
They would be at 52 and 55. And
you don't know that for a fact.
No, but there's a good chance they will be.
I don't know. And they're still six and a half
the
out.
The team logjam, too. Yeah. Like, are you 3-4 back, but it's four teams in the mix in that window? Yeah. I mean, it's... I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a pulse. We know that. But I still think 2026 is the bigger picture scenario.
I agree with that.
Look, 24 hours ago, we're not even having this discussion. Now people are talking like, you know what I mean? Come on, bump the brakes. Now, I hope I'm wrong. And me and Nola grew up as Oriole fans, and nobody wants them to win more than we do. I just don't see it. And sorry, Manzo. Not writing obituaries. I mean, you wrote it for yourself. I didn't go out there and go 0 for 17 or whatever it is and can't hit with runners in scoring position. But the injuries, David Rubenstein said it yesterday as he met with the media for the first time in a couple of months, injuries are a major problem. But he also said, and I know you lived in the Dan Snyder world, Rubenstein's like, hey, I defer to the professionals, which he's doing. So Mike Elias, it sounds to me like he's kind of got full authority to do stuff here. And Sig Meidel's probably a pretty important heavy hitter in that decision-making process, I would think.
Oh, definitely. Well, trade deadline, yeah. I mean, that's where Elias is going to actually make his moves. I have no doubt in my mind that he's going to look to make moves at the deadline. The bigger question, like we've been saying, is the offseason. You know, Elias has shown no hesitancy at the deadline, especially from the selling side of things. So that's not really a concern for me.
But the Orioles sweep the doubleheader, so we're feeling better than we did a day ago. Now you got the Marlins coming to town. Identical record as the Orioles. It's the return of Kyle Stowers, Connor Norby. Rodgers is pitching tomorrow afternoon. Hawaiian shirt day down at Oriole Park at Camden Yards. So an interesting weekend for both ball clubs. As we said, Miami had won 11 straight road games until they just dropped two in a row at Cincinnati. You want to get in? Are the Orioles back? Have they ever left? Yeah, they kind of have. I don't think they are, but they did gain a game, and you got to keep an eye on that sort of thing heading into the All-Star break and eventually into the trade deadline coming up in about 3 weeks. Ravens, 3 weeks away from nothing. They'll be practicing in 3 weeks. They got exhibition games coming up on August the 7th. It's going to be work as usual as the Ravens look to Super Bowl or bust. What more can you say about them? I mean, if they're having an Orioles-like season at the midway point of 25, and the only way that happens is Lamar gets hurt. But if that's happening, you talk about firing people and wanting heads to roll. We'll get into all of that way ahead of ourselves. We think the Ravens are going to go 18-0, and they only play 17 games. Derek Queen made his summer league debut, and he made a strong one, just like he did his first game at the University of Maryland. It's Featured Artist Friday. I can't remember who it is. We'll find out together next here on The Fan.
Business owners know every missed call is money left on the table. For $15 a month, get a dedicated business number with OpenPhone. You can manage calls, assign conversations, send auto replies, and skip voicemail with OpenPhone's AI agent that captures leads 24/7. Join over 60,000 businesses using OpenPhone. Get 20% off at openphone.com/odyssey. They'll even port your existing numbers for free. openphone.com/odyssey. OpenPhone. No missed calls. No missed customers.
And then the Orioles steal one. Peterson, who, by the way, got named to the All-Star team, he was dominant into the eighth inning. Ryan Stanek, not so much, as he struggled and put runners on base. But the Orioles win the first one. Then, after falling behind 2-0, took the lead. Then it was tied. Then they pull away late and win the second game, 7-3. Jordan Westberg, homer, three ribbies. Gunner had three hits. Sagano, his first win in over a month. Orioles, first time they have swept a doubleheader in 9 years. And the first time they've been eight games under 500 in 2 months, over 2 months. So the Orioles, it was a good day yesterday, Oriole Park at Camden Yards. Now, as we know, I won't be here Monday, but if they get swept by the Marlins, I'm sure the discussion will be a lot different.
Oh, trade everybody.
Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. They sweep. Different narrative, but they're creeping closer to whatever it is they're trying to be, which is a playoff team. I still have reservations, but hopefully they prove me wrong. If you want to get in, you can at 410-583-1057. Jonas Schaefer, Baltimore Banner, joining us. Talk Ravens 2 weeks away from training camp 2025. Ravens expectations through the roof. I mean, we're hoping the Orioles can eke into a wild card. Ravens don't get to the Super Bowl. It's going to be a disappointing season.
Yep.
Let's get out to the phones, though. Let's go to Tony and Ro. Eric Clapton, by the way, featured artist Friday, as chosen by you, the people. Anything you want to hear from him, send your request, pause for text line at 410-583-1057. Can we include Cream into the equation?
Do whatever you want. It's Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you both are heading for vacation.
Yeah. Cream's going to be a pretty awesome band to listen to. Not to give you any not-so-subtle hints, listeners, but maybe I'll make an executive decision and pick a song myself. Let's go to Tony in Rosedale. Tony, what's up?
What's up? You know, Cream is a hit record by the Wu-Tang Clan. Cash rules everything around me. that's the cream I know.
Cream is something I don't put in my coffee. I know that, but it's a great super group with Eric Clapton, Ginger Baker, and damn, who was the bass player? Drive me insane. So what's going on there, Tony and Rosedale?
Okay, I called you a few weeks ago.
Jack Bruce. There we go. Thank you.
I called you a few weeks ago, and I told you that Baltimore. But you use sort of a pennant race similar to 1982 or the 1975 Colts, where everything is do or die. You just got to win. And from a fan's perspective, the interest is at peak level because here we are, first week of July, and we're all tuning in as to what's going to happen against the series against Florida. I think this is good. I still think we can get a wild card. And I hope they don't do any mass tradings or whatever. I just think they should put the best lineup out there and try to creep away at this lead. And I think it can be done. I mean, there's games left and we're playing well. And some of the pitchers are coming around. I mean, it's a tough situation to be in. I'm from the school of why take a chance on what might be in 26? I mean, you come out the gates in 26 and somebody turn an ankle in spring training and then you're screwed then. I say go for it while you can.
And go for it in what regard, though? I mean, are you adding to the equation?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying? We're buyers now? All of a sudden after a sweep of a doubleheader? But what are you selling? What kind of capital are you going to give up to buy something here? Keeping in mind that there are a ton of teams just like the Orioles and others in a much better situation than Baltimore is right now.
Okay, I would look and see, you know, my strengths in the minor leagues or whatever, in the major league level, what I can give away. If it's a pitcher, then I give up a pitcher to try to get someone to help me to win now. That's what I would do because this is doable and I just wouldn't, you know, sacrifice this season when you're creeping away at it and something can be that. This is my perspective. I know look at it differently going down the road or whatever, but I'm a fan and I want my interest level to still be high. And when you start trading away people and I'm looking at the hands of Albertos of the world back out here on the field and all of a sudden you're 10 games out, you know, I'm going to lose interest or whatever. This is what we're sitting around waiting for as a fan. I'll let you go with this. We're sitting around waiting for them to lose four or five in a row and put us out of our misery so we can get ready for training camp, or to win four or five in a row and really get excited. And this is back and forth, winning two out of three or whatever is keeping us, you know, at a certain level. Like I said, our interest is at peak level. At least it is for me.
Sure. No doubt. Tony, thanks for the call. And you mentioned training camp. That's in less than 2 weeks. Ravens open the regular season in less than 2 months. And we'll see you for Baltimore Game Day Uncensored, the pregame show, which, believe it or not, we're already talking about it. So we still got BBT going on tonight at Pickles Pub. Me and Jim Hunter and Tim Barbalace live starting at 6 o'clock. Come on down and say hello. Brought to you by Jerry's Home Services. Look, would I like the Orioles to get a controllable pitcher in a trade? Sure. But again, every other team in baseball that tried to contend, they're all looking for the same thing. And the Orioles, I don't think, have that sort of trade equity that they had a year or two ago. Kerstad's trade value is minimal.
Right.
You're not trading Mayo because he might be your first baseman next year. Chase McDermott left last night's start with elbow soreness after pitching great for five innings. I mean, where do you have the wherewithal to acquire? I mean, you going to throw Moo Man into a trade? I mean, if you're trying to win, because you have all these outfielders, I'm just throwing out scenarios. Right. We'll trade Kowser will be the no, you're not trading him. You're not trading anybody. Oh, the younger variety.
Bob, if I go 10-5, I think no matter what, I'm trading Mullins and O'Hearn because
O'Hearn's so high.
Yes.
And then you can re-sign him in the offseason if you want.
And Mullins, I'd like to trade him after last night.
Yeah, well, Sad's been scuffling a little bit there offensively.
I know, but last night he got a couple of knocks.
All right, let's go to PT in Towson. PT, what's happening? I guess we're going to the World Series again here.
I just put $10 on it. It paid $2,500. Load up.
Hey, why not? Hey, look, that's a low risk maneuver and a high reward for sure.
No doubt. And what that catch by Urias last night going into the wall, and he's our fifth infielder. I mean, this team has talent. If we could just get, you know, Bradish, Grayson, or Wells, just one of those three guys to get another starter, I do not sell Morton. I stick with him, and I know this is crazy talk, but I think they might re-sign him next year because I think Elias approaches pitching, you know, with the idea that they're going to get hurt. You know, so do you want to really spend that much money on a Burns? You know what I'm saying? But, Bob, let me ask you this. Would you rather have a...
I mean, you're cracking me up. Go ahead.
Would you rather have eight starting pitchers for $10 million a year? Or would you rather spend really big, you know, like have two starting pitchers that you're paying $50 million a year? What would you prefer there?
I don't want $8, $10 million a year crappy pitchers.
Right.
I want one stud that's going to be, when you go up against Skubal or Crochet or name a guy, he's going to be like Burns was. You throw your best pitcher out there, our best pitcher's as good as yours. They need that guy. Now, you could probably get by with a lot of Eflin. You have five Eflins, you got a chance to win, but your bullpen's going to have to be stout. And let's not forget that dilemma that Elias faces, PT, in the offseason. You're going to have to retool your bullpen pretty much outside of what? Batista? Is Kittredge on a one-year deal?
No, he's got a second year.
So you got Kittredge, you got Batista. All right, Aiken will be back, but he's dealing with some soreness there in the throwing arm. Yeah, you got a lot of holes to fill in your pitching staff in general, not just the rotation, where at least you could bank on guys coming back hopefully healthy next year, or maybe at the end of this season when they're out of it.
No, I absolutely agree with you, but I think Sir Anthony, you know, or Soto, I mean, Soto's been wild, but you resign one of these guys. I totally agree. We have to spend there. But I don't agree with you. And actually, the writer, his name escapes me. He was in the Sun this morning. I don't think we need a middle of the lineup big bat. I mean, I'd love to have that, but my priorities are more, you know, always more starting pitching, but also, like you're saying, the bullpen. I feel like if Kowser's your sixth hitter, you know, Ben and Mullins batting last, I mean, there's a lot of talent on this team. Position-wise, I agree the pitching needs to be addressed. But my thing, where you and I guess I disagree. Of course, I want to have Burns. You know what I mean? Or like the kid Schmidt for the Yankees. Of course, we want those guys. I'm just saying, in the game today, they all get hurt. So yeah. I would rather have seven arms instead of five.
Well, PT, I hear you, and you're trying to talk me into something I don't want to hear right now. We're going to wait to see how the series against Miami goes over the weekend, and then when they come back from the break, when they go to Tampa right out of the gate. But, you could sign $8, $10 million a year pitchers. Two of them are going to wind up getting hurt.
What are we saying about Cleveland? If you got four quarterbacks, you got none. You know?
Pitchers just drop like flies. It's unfortunate. Clark Schmidt, done for the Yankees this year. And they're already without Gerrit Cole and Luis Gil, who Nolan was kind of ragging on for shrapnel coming out of nowhere yesterday.
Luis Gil, he's a Cy Young. What are you talking about? So is the new kid, Schlittler. He's a Cy Young.
You can say that.
Debbie Garcia, Debbie Cruz.
When we come back, we'll take more phone calls. the Orioles sweep the doubleheader. Everybody's optimistic. Hey, it's better to be optimistic than pessimistic. 24 hours ago, we're lamenting what happened in game one of this series. Coming up top of the hour, Jonas Schaefer is going to be joining us, Baltimore Banner, talk about the Ravens. I mean, you think the Orioles are up against it? How about the Ravens? If they look, if they get to the playoffs, it's like, yeah, that's great. They won a game. Ooh, all right, cool. They lost in the divisional round. Fire
everybody. Hi, I'm Darina, co-founder of Open Phone. My dad is a business owner, and growing up, he always kept his ringtone super loud so he'd never miss a customer call. Open Phone gives your team business phone numbers to call and text all in one shared workspace. And our AI agent answers 24/7 so you never miss a customer. Over 60,000 businesses use OpenPhone. Get 20% off at openphone.com/odyssey. OpenPhone. No missed calls, no missed customers.
Everybody. Probably thinking like the PTs over the world over there, but let's get out to the phones. Let's go to Eric Clapton, Featured Artist Friday, 475-83-1057. Takes us to Rashawn. Rashawn, thanks for holding. What's happening? You got my picture, right?
Hey, good morning. Oh, yeah, I got that, man.
No but, brooms allowed at Camden Yards.
No, I said that to Dustin, but we still plan on coming down there Sunday without brooms, man, if we sweep them all
Sunday.
And so in.
What about tonight at Pickles Pubs? You could buy me and Jim Hunter a beer. What's going
on? Yeah, we're
going
to be down there. I think me and Tripp be coming through tonight, man.
Oh, we'll, nice.
We'll be down there.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too, man. But, you know, hopefully we don't sleep on the Marlins. I didn't realize something. We got the same record as them. I think they both. We both 42-50.
Yeah, and they had just lost two in a row. They had won 11 straight road games coming into this series, or until they lost the last two against the Reds. This Cabrera guy pitching today, get ready for the heat he's bringing to the equation. So pick up the bat speed if you're the Orioles.
Yeah, and who we got on the mound? I'm assuming it's Kramer, right?
It's Man Bun. Yes, sir.
Yeah, and he leaves that ball over the plate a lot, man.
And then Rodgers tomorrow against his former team. You don't think he's going to be amped up? And he's pitching well on top of it?
Yeah, and I know Stowers and Norby, man, they're going to be amped up to come back home, you know, for the first time and put on the show for a team
All-star.
That traded him and gave up to him.
All-star.
Who would have thought that? Who would have thought that last year, Bob? How much money you would have put on that to say, hey, we trading Stowers, and next year he's going to be an all-star.
I would have bet a lot against that.
Me too, a lot.
For real.
Yeah, man. But hopefully, man, we get this sweep, or at least win 2 out of 3. Let's be realistic, 2 out of 3, because the mall is not that bad, you know. So win 2 out of 3, we still in this thing. You know, I'm optimistic like my man PT, you know. I like PT. I want to hang out with him. PT, if you're listening, man, come down to Pickles, man. You get a beer on me, you know, and I promise I won't get you in no type of trouble.
Yeah, he'll show up 5 minutes after you're walking out the door, though. That's the problem.
Yeah, man. But, definitely I'm feeling good, man. You know, I ain't got to be, you know, normally, you know, around this time this year, only worrying about what's going on out in Oxnard, California, and Owens Mills and all that stuff, man. You know, in case y'all know, Oxnard, California is
with Cowboys.
Yeah, the Cowboys. But for the listeners out there, it's probably, what the hell is that?
Yeah.
You know,
because most of our listeners couldn't care less about what's going on in Oxnard, California. All right, Rashawn, I'll see you tonight, man.
All right, man, I'll see you.
Have a good. And leave your brooms home, because there's a sign right there that says no brooms. Let's go to Andy in Dundalk. Andy, what's up?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Great. Wonderful.
Listen, this team reminds me of the Texas Rangers 2 years ago. They went out and got a pitcher. They got Flaherty. This offense is pretty much unstoppable when they get hot. So the bottom line is this, for me, if they go out and get a frontline starting pitcher, a number one, then they can add whatever they want, but they get them and they can extend them. The Orioles can win the World Series. Just Texas proved that 2 years ago. It's just a matter of that. We have the offensive tools.
Well, remember Texas 2 years ago, they sucked on the road and then got hot in the playoffs where they didn't lose on the road. They won the first two here, and they had a road winning streak on their way to the World Series championship, taking on Arizona, who might be even more of a realistic comparison, who made it as a wild card team. But Andy, don't you think that every contending team's looking for a frontline pitcher? Yeah. And it's not like last year's midseason trade crop. It's not a lot of big-time guys going to be available here.
I do. I agree with you guys. Elias has got to get off the bench and get off of whatever it is he's on and say, hey, it's time to spend the money. If he's got, like Bernstein said, if he's got the the checkbook that he can do whatever he wants. He's got carte blanche. We need to get that front line starter. We need to. And the thing about Texas 2 years ago, they didn't get in the playoffs until the last day of the season. The Orioles have a good offensive team. When they're hot, when they get hot, they're an unstoppable force.
When they're healthy.
Pitchers.
Yeah, healthy. Hey, Andy, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. We got to take a break. Come back. Take more of your phone calls. 410-583-105. Number one starter.
Where are you getting that?
At the trade deadline, though?
I mean, oh, you know what you're going to pay for
what
that?
What are you trading for right. that guy?
Yeah.
I mean, you're too far. If you're chasing the Yankees by three games, what are you sacrificing? Okay, I'll listen to that. But 6.5 out of the wild card with six teams in front of you? How many pitchers do the Dodgers have on the IL right now? Get into that. Speaking of Maryland, Dave LaMonica, TerrapinTimes.com, 11:30. Buzz Williams has filled out his staff, recruiting his ass off for not just, well, the roster's filled for 25-26, but trying to keep this train a-rolling as Maryland Hoops under Buzz has gone from a team that, oh, we're rebuilding, to now is projected to be in the NCAA tournament next year. But are the Orioles going to be in Major League Baseball's tournament? I'm still pessimistic. I hope I'm wrong, and I usually am. Let's go to Bill in Annapolis. Bill, what's up?
Well, I just have a couple quick thoughts. One, I think that trade of Baker was brilliant. You got to keep in mind we got Westy and we got Gunner with a pick around the same range. And I can tell you, he was tipping his damn changeup, and they knew the changeup was coming the last time I saw him pitch. And I bet he did the same thing in Boston. And if he can't pitch, if Baker can't throw that changeup without them knowing it, he's just toast. They'll hit that fastball over the fence faster than I can swing a bat. And then the second thought I had is, where the heck did we get that Wolfman from? I can't believe we found a guy that can throw like that, left-handed, throw strikes and hit 97. Where did that come from?
And they sent him back to the minors after the game. That was his first career win, and we were still on the air, Bill, when he was pitching. I call him Wolfram. I know it's Wolfram.
I call him Wolfram.
No, he's a superhero. Somebody's got to come up with Wolfram. What would his strength be? Would he be like a wolf with horns on his head? I don't know. But, yeah, thanks for coming up. Thanks for pumping the high 90s. Now go back to Norpoint.
Yeah.
Now let me throw one other thing out at you guys. We got a guy. Everybody's talking about Baseo. I don't know if anybody's seen Beavers, but he had a flat bat, and he was struggling at Bowie when I went out to watch him. They straightened the bat up. I don't know if he talked to Holiday's dad or what, but they got that bat straight, got rid of the hitch. He is a hitter. He's another Couser, but with less swing and miss now. And he's ready right this moment to come in and take over center field. He can play center, left, and right.
Bill, thanks for the call. And we'll talk about that with Jacob Calvin-Meyer, by the way, because I was going to bring up Dylan Beavers. If you were, like, betting, because I guess we're gambling right now, Beavers will be in Baltimore before Kerstad will. How's that sound? All right, let's get back to the phones. Let's go to Rob in Bel Air. Rob, what's up?
What's up, Bob? Good choice, Eric Clapton, man. You can go either way with that. Derek and the Dominoes.
Good call.
Yeah. Or Blind Fate, where he did I Can't Find My Way Home. I mean, there's so many. And if you really want to know how good Clapton really was, just listen to the Beatles when he was on their guest album, Why My Guitar Gently Weeps. Listen to his guitar solo there.
Yeah, behest of George Harrison, by the way. And I did see Clapton in concert 40 years ago at the Baltimore Civic Center.
Didn't you say it wasn't very good?
I was bored to tears. Now, keep in mind, I was 20 years old, and I was more in the Motley Crue, Rat kind of thing. But if I watched it now, like young me or me now could go into young body and kind of digest what I'm seeing, I'd have probably appreciated it. And he was wearing Hawaiian shirts. He looked like Don Johnson up there on stage.
Yeah, that's not the clap you want to see. But, hey, real quick about the Orioles and real quick about the Ravens. Yesterday's game, you know, we talk about management managers and we talk about relief pitchers. They're going crazy in New York. I saw a thing and I listened to the radio broadcast of it. When they took Peterson out of the game, and you knew that Gunner was coming up, so you put a right-handed pitcher in. I was shaking my head going, the Orioles are going to win. Gunner, something's going to happen here. And not only was that Stanek, something like that.
Ryan, yeah. Stanek.
What did he have? Five walks too. I mean, it was unbelievable with that call. I mean, he might as well have kept Peterson. He was what 88 pitches or 90 pitches. That's the thing about baseball now, that you want to get, sometimes they want to get too cute sometimes, I think.
Well, not only did they hook him, they left Stanek in to face, what, nine batters? It felt like, if you're a Mets fan. Oh, yeah, and I saw some of the comments from Mets fans. They're kind of eviscerating this guy, Carlos Mendoza.
Absolutely. Hey, Vinny, real quick about the Ravens. I don't know if you've gone, I mean, I know you got to go through training camp and the depth of the team, but when you look at the positions, we know that the next man up stuff doesn't always really work, because if Lamar gets hurt or Mahomes gets hurt, it's a different season for all of them. Josh Allen, it's different. But when you look at the offensive line, but how about the linebackers? That's what I was thinking about with Roquan. We saw Roquan get hurt last year, it was against the Steelers, and then they brought in Harrison, who's now with the Steelers. Who's the backup for these linebackers? That's the bit. I mean, I know we still got training camp, like we talked about, training camp and everything else. But who's the backup for these guys?
We got Buchanan, draft pick, and we've got Hummel, Jake Hummel, you know, who came from the Rams. Basically, you got two special teamers. There is a huge drop-off, and that's why, you know, Simpson has got to step up. If Simpson is not a guy, they got one linebacker, and there'll be a lot of, you know, one linebacker playing, I think, a lot for the Ravens this year. And you know, on first down, run downs, yeah, two linebackers. But other than that, no, they'll have six, seven DBs in there. Have your best 11 out there, you know, and to put any of those other guys out there, you know, on second or third down, no.
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, is who's going to be the And the last one with Clowney, do you think he's still out there? I know he got hurt or whatever, but you think the Ravens teams are waiting until after training camp to maybe see what they have before they want to sign him? Because you're never going to have too many pass rushers. I know he's probably a drop-off from what he did with the 9.5 sacks a year or two ago, but could that be a possibility, you think?
I think Clowney is waiting. You know, I mean, because right now everybody's got what they want. Plus, I don't think he wants to go through training camp. I think that, you know, the Ravens are going to have to cut one probably anyhow right now. So they'll go through camp. If somebody were to get hurt, then possibly, you know, they would bring him in. But I could see them, you know, if they're bringing in a veteran guy, kicker, inside linebacker, maybe an old lineman, you know, those types, safety possibly.
We'll talk about this subject with Jonas Schaefer. And if Isaac and Ajabo, for instance, a lot of ifs, if they prove to be capable, they're in a need for Clowney, unless Van Nooy gets old all of a sudden.
Well, you know, the only way you need Clowney is if you have injury. The thing with Clowney was he played the run well also.
We'll come back, talk Ravens. Jonas Schaefer, less than 2 weeks from training camp, less than a month from the preseason opener against the Colts. It's insanity. Whip around coming up 11:15. Derek Queen made his spring debut or summer league debut. And Dave LaMonaco, TampaTimes.com, talk about that. Buzz Williams stabilizing his staff. And since we're, what, July 11th? That means Maryland football is coming up literally next month, regular season opener.
Hi, I'm Darina, co-founder of OpenPhone. My dad is a business owner, and growing up, he always kept his ringtone super loud so he'd never miss a customer call. OpenPhone gives your team business phone numbers to call and text all in one shared workspace, and our AI agent answers 24/7 so you never miss a customer. Over 60,000 businesses use OpenPhone. Get 20% off at openphone.com/odyssey. OpenPhone. No missed calls, no missed customers.